If you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and open up to Proverbs. This is actually our last proverb from Solomon that we'll be looking on for finances. It's Proverbs 28:11. I think it was interesting that Solomon started with, it's about your heart. You got to get your heart ready for finances, and that he ends with this one. And in Proverbs 28:11, it says this, "The rich man is wise in his own eyes, but the poor who has understanding searches him out." Read again. "The rich man is wise in his own eyes, but the poor man has understanding, who has understanding searches him out." And when I was looking up in the commentaries about it, it was saying that a lot of times when people get wealth and they get riches, what happens is that they begin to think that they are somehow elevated above everybody else. And not only are they a wealthy person, but all of a sudden they have this special gift of intellect that's above everyone else. They have a special knowledge that's above everyone else, and they create them for themselves this own feeling of superiority. And so what did Solomon start with? He started with, have your heart ready for the blessing. And he ends it with this. If you're a rich person, remember who you are. Remember who you are. Because when a person gets so consumed with their riches, like he was describing here in the commentary, wise in their own conceit, they think they're because of their possessions and their wealth, that they receive superiority to others. In order to avoid this type of thinking, we have to remember who we are. Amen? Because a lot of times people fear wealth. They fear riches. But the reason they fear that is number one. Their hearts are not ready for the blessing the Lord has for them. When you prepare your heart and you ask the Lord to prepare your heart for that wealth, he'll listen to you. He'll honor you. He'll keep you connected to him. And when you stay connected to him, guess what happens? Your riches never outrank God. You stay in that place of remembering who you are, and really it should be remembering whose you are. Because when you remember whose you are, you know where your wealth comes from. Amen? And so you don't have that superior mindset. You have more of that, what we would call that down-to-earth mindset. We had an elderly neighbor that we helped take care of for years. And she would always tell us about her little brother, the millionaire. And how that he had, it was something with fiber optics panels that go on spaceships that he and two of his friends created in college or shortly after, literally skyrocketed. It's funny to compare to, you know, outer space, but they literally skyrocketed, so much so that almost overnight they were blessed with a lot of money. And then after that, he worked in the company for many years. And then it was bought out by a Japanese company, and they kept him on like kind of as an advisor. So he made the profit of selling the company, but then he still makes profit from being advisor, right? And so when she would tell us the stories about him, we all kind of had this image, right? Millionaire, older guy, right? Millionaire. You just kind of get Rolls Royce, you know, something pretty classy. And so I remember the very first time that we met her brother, Johnny, and he pulled up in his Ford Raptor, and he got out, and he had his cowboy boots on, and his Levi jeans, and his flannel shirt, and his long hair in a ponytail, and it was like, "Hey, y'all, how you doing?" And we're all like, "That's Johnny? Whoa." But Johnny remembered who he was. He was a down-home boy before he made the money, and he was a down-home boy after he made the money. And money didn't change him. I know it's kind of a silly picture, but that's the picture I want you to see today, is that you are a child of God before you get wealthy, and if you'll keep your heart right with Him, you will stay a child of God after you are wealthy. So that when people come into your presence, they're going to go, they're a millionaire, but they're so down to earth, they're so reachable, they're just like us. Yes, because you won't let your money bring you to that point of being conceited and feeling like somehow you are superior to others. It says at the end of the verse that the poor man who has understanding searches him out. And how many times have you been maybe less financially fit as someone that you're around that's spouting off all these things? And as someone who it doesn't own as much as that person maybe, or maybe have as much as that person, you can totally read right through them. Have you ever been that way before? Because a poor man isn't necessarily poor, it's just less than the rich man, right? And so we want to keep the wisdom that the poor man has with our riches. Amen? Amen? Amen. Because we're going to a place where finances are going to increase in this body. They have to. Can I just tell you that? You have already sown fields and 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 fields of things. So our harvest is coming in. My harvest is coming in today. Now stop and think about, close your eyes just for a second, use your imaginations. Now picture those fields, nothing on them, they're barren, but you planted your seed, and then you see sprouts. And then it shoots up and it stalks, and before you know it, they are ripe with harvest. Now open your eyes, look at me. That is what is coming to this church. So we have to have the wisdom of Solomon to know what we need to do with our finances. And it starts with the heart. Amen? And really, it ends with the heart. Whoops. It ends with the heart. Because if you remember who you are, you got to go back to the beginning. And you got to keep your heart right with God. Amen? Grab your tithes and offerings. Father, I just thank you for this series that you've given us as we have studied the wisdom of the wisest man that ever lived. As we look at Solomon's Proverbs, Father, and I just thank you, Lord, for the wisdom that we have gained. I pray, Father, that the seeds that we have sown every week into our hearts and our minds about finances would literally drive out the fear of being overtaken, that if I become rich, I won't be a Christian anymore. No, we know that that is not true. We thank you, Father, for that wisdom that we have to be able to deal with our finances correctly, Father, to have the soundness of mind and heart to be able to make the decisions that we need to make, to know whether to turn to the right or the left, because we are not guided by money, we are guided by you. And we thank you, Lord, today. We do speak to every harvest field that I know we have out there, maybe even those we don't even remember we planted, and we say, in Jesus' name, you come forth. You come forth, because we are equipped now, we are educated now, we are ready now to take care of the finances the Lord has for these last days to be put into the body of Christ. And we just thank you, Father, for every seed that is sown today. It's going to reap a harvest, a hundredfold harvest. This is good soil, Father, that you've given us to sow into. And we just thank you for that harvest, and we praise you and we thank you, Father, for every person in this room, Father, to be debt-free in Jesus' name, that we'll reach that point that we'll have to come to you and say, Lord, where do we give to this month? I have so much left over. Where do I give? And Lord, we just praise you and we thank you for your faithfulness in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
Thank you for that beautiful offering message, Pastor Shelley. You know, talking about our radio broadcast, Shelly could actually have her own radio broadcast. She does so much with giving, you know, and she teaches a lot of great things, but her anointing on tithes and offerings and the heart of giving and receiving is just magnificent. In fact, in the entire month of November, she's going to be doing the radio teaching. She doesn't know that but she is, because there's so much we have, you know, stored up, and you need to get it out and share it, right? And so we're not going to even scratch the surface of what she's taught over the 8 years we've been doing this, 8.5 years. But we're going to be sowing that out into the community, and just helping people to break through financially. Amen. The spirit of breakthrough is on this church and on these leaders and on you, and we need to share it. Amen. And so I'm just so excited. So on the radio, the month is going to be dedicated to praise and thanksgiving, and especially in the area of finances, breakthrough, especially in the area of finances next month. So hallelujah. Praise God. Well, let's pray over this word. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your spirit would say to us today regarding our nation, regarding these elections, regarding our leadership. We forgive and we release any politician on either side of parties, Lord, that have offended us or that have said things that have just rubbed us the wrong way, God. We release them. We forgive, Lord God, but we ask you to help us to focus in on what we need to focus on regarding how to vote, who to vote for, what issues to vote, and what issues not to vote for. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. And I was, again, we're not using my personal notes right now because Pastor George Pearson's of Eagle Mountain International Church has done such a phenomenal job of breaking this down for us, and he said, hey, pastors, use my notes if you want. And so I was putting together some things, and I realized I don't have to put together anything. He's already put it together, and he said I could use it. So if you do want to use these notes, you can look at emic.org, and then there's an area for downloads. And it's, I think, the message, yeah, it says right here, Sunday, September 13th. But we're not going to do, he's done several messages, so it's a great place to research and just hear what the Word of God says compared to different issues that we're all facing as a nation, and it's just invaluable. And here's the truth. A lot of pastors and ministries will not touch this. They said this morning they've had people leave their church because they are being so straightforward on these issues. And to me, I was just thinking yesterday how, I don't know if the word is bizarre, but how interesting, maybe is a better word, it is that pastors in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ would even have to talk about such things in terms of informing the church that certain things are right and certain things are wrong. It's just, I mean, we just came through the teaching on the church in the book of Revelation and so on. And yeah, how many know in the, just because we're the church, I'm not talking about just this church, but these church doesn't mean we don't have any issues in our life, right? But we need to come back, and we're talking specifically about political platforms, specifically the Democratic platform and the Republican platform. And Pastor George even said this morning, this ought to be our platform, right? And this is how we must vote. Amen? Not voting based on what my organization says or what my union says or how grandpa voted or how I feel about so-and-so's personality. I feel sorry for that person, so I'll vote for them. Amen? One person said in a debate recently, I'm not going to go into name-calling, right, because we don't do name-calling. We just call on the name, right? But one person said, I'm an Irish Catholic, and I'm tired of all you people looking down your spiritual noses. And my thought was, if you're an Irish Catholic, you ought to know better than to say the things and promote the things that you're promoting. Teaching things to children. The Pastor George taught some things today, brought it to light that made my ears tingle. It was some of the worst things I have ever heard in my life. That states like California are teaching to children, and all of the education system comes out of California and Texas. Texas declined this extreme agenda from California by 3 votes. And the point was, pull up your school, your state school board and email those people and tell them, do not take on California's agenda for education, and it's sex ed is what it is. Bizarre. I mean, you think it's bizarre now. They've gone to all new lows. In fact, some of the things that a lot of things are promoting, people would go to prison a few years ago for teaching children such things, and should now. Somebody say, I mean, this is a very somber time, but it's time for the church to rise up in faith, in the word, and be a voice to those who have no voice, for those who have no voice, amen? And this particular message is on where do you stand on abortion, okay? So this is, again, from Pastor George Pearson's, and it's going to be, I'm not Pastor George, so you'll hear my, take on it and so forth as well. Let the Holy Ghost lead us, amen? But somebody just say, I'm ready. And I know in this church, we don't got to tell you. Abortion is not a good thing to promote. Amen, right? But we need to, these words need to be spoken, right? Not swept under the carpet, not brushed aside. No, we need to address this head on. Somebody say, head on. Amen. And like Shelley was saying this morning, our battle is not against people, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world. Amen. So we pray for the people, but it's not going to change how I vote. Amen. Praise the Lord. But the foundation text that Pastor George gave was Proverbs 29, verse 2, and it says this: when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked rule, the people mourn. And I'll tell you what, if one thing is on the line this election, it's a nation that is for, it's the freedom of a nation is on the line. Or you can have everything for free. Simply put, the freedom of a nation or everything's free. And one of those is just a downright lie. Amen, right? When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked rule, the people mourn. Amen. And Pastor George said this, that Brother Copeland came to him and said, you need to take the two political platforms, and Brother Copeland is a prophet who I submit this ministry to. Things that he says, I take seriously. Now, if anybody goes out there, and no matter how long they've been a prophet and starts preaching goofy stuff, hey, just turn it off. But I'm telling you, when I hear him teach, I bear witness to things that come out of that man's heart and mouth, right? But he told Pastor George, you need to take the two political parties and preach on them, their platforms, what they're standing on, right? And he said, take a look at what the two parties say about particular issues, compare the two platforms to God's word. And Pastor George actually has the two platforms. He has a red notebook and a blue notebook. And the Democratic platform is about 92 pages, right? They're lengthy in what they just, but it's everything that party is promoting. It's their agenda. Amen? So he said, determine which platform best aligns with how the kingdom of God operates. Somebody say, oh yeah. Right? Make it really clear that a platform is something you stand on. Look at those platforms right there. You stand on those, right? That's where your support is, right? The platform planks represent the individual issues, but you're standing on the whole stage. To vote for that platform is to attach yourself to it and partake of the judgments of that platform. You could vote for that person for some other reason, but if they're an abortionist, then you are an accomplice. Somebody say, yikes. But my union likes that person, but that person is pro-abortion. So me voting for that person because it's my union and I get, the Green Deal, baby, Green Deal or bust. No, 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 no. No. How about saving unborn children? How about reaching out to these young people that are just deceived and teaching them, hey, guess what? There are consequences for your choices. If you're not ready to be a mommy or a daddy, don't do that. He was sharing this morning that Planned Parenthood, their goal is for every young girl to have 3 abortions in her lifetime. Somebody do this. Love of money, baby. Nasty, awful, devilish type things. The church has to be the voice of righteousness in the world. Not an angry finger-pointing voice at, you know, calling this, you're all going to hell. And no. But we vote. We don't flow with the flow of the world. We flow with the Word of God. We're on the way up. Amen? Praise the Lord. And he says this, you know, for the argument that nobody pays attention to the platforms, right? There's an argument, a legitimate argument. But he says this, God knows what's on those platforms, right? And they are written by we the people. Amen? The people that wrote these platforms are representatives from every state in the union. And from the abundance of their hearts, the parties speak, right? And politicians will be making their decisions on our behalf based on the platform they embrace and stand on. The platform is the driving agenda for all legislation that they put out in the next 4 years or however long they're in office, right? And it's what they're going to be pushing to accomplish. And I'll tell you what, man, this what I heard this morning, because nobody or not enough people stood up to their agenda 10 years ago, there's no end to them pushing, grosser and grosser and lower and nastier. So what are we going to do? We're going to stand up and vote. We're going to be praying. We're not going to be sweeping this kind of stuff under the carpet. And don't preach on that stuff in church because you don't want to offend anybody. Well, if that offends somebody, then you're offended by the Lord Jesus Christ, not the pastor. Amen? Praise God. Brother Copeland brought a word from the Lord. It says this, tell my people wherever you go, this is from the Lord, those who vote for politicians knowing their immoral policies and platforms and illegal acts had better repent. They are partners with those politicians and will be responsible for every baby's death. You have taken the devil's part by not voting at all. So people that say, oh, I'm not going to vote for anybody, then you voted the wrong way. Amen? And he says this, I will, saith the Lord, hold you responsible for voting for whom I tell you to vote. And you can't get out of it by not voting. I'll hold you responsible for voting for the wrong one if you do that. Some are saying that they just won't vote. Actually, you just did. You're still an accomplice because you knew about a crime and did nothing to stop it. Amen? So, here we go. What does the Democratic Party platform, where does the Democratic Party platform stand on abortion? From page 32. This is how it reads, directly from the Democratic Party platform. Democrats are committed to protecting and advancing reproductive health, rights, and justice. We believe unequivocally, like the majority of Americans, that every woman should be able to access high-quality reproductive health care services, including safe and legal abortion. We will repeal the Title X domestic gag rule and restore federal funding for Planned Parenthood, which provides vital, preventative, and reproductive health care for millions of people, especially low-income people, people of color, and LGBTQ plus people, including undeserved areas. And he adds a note here. In 2019, the Ninth Circuit Federal Appeals Court ruled in favor of allowing the Trump administration, right? To enforce the Title X rule, banning taxpayer monies for facilities that perform or refer for abortions. Somebody say, that's a good reason to vote for Trump. Because he is on the side of God. Amen? To protect life, rule forbids grant recipients from using the funds to perform, promote, refer, or support abortion as a method of family planning. Amen. Page 32 says this in the Democratic platform. Democrats oppose and will fight to overturn federal and state laws that create barriers to reproductive health rights. We will repeal the Hyde Amendment and protect and codify the right to reproductive freedom. Now, a note here, Pastor George brings up, in 1976, the Hyde Amendment is a legislative provision barring the use of federal funds for abortion, except to save the life of the woman or if the pregnancy, we'll not get into the details there, but the 2016 Democratic platform marked the first time the party included an explicit call to repeal the Hyde Amendment in its platform. So they're just trying to take anything out of the way of anybody at any time being able to access an abortion. Page 82, the Democrats say this. Democrats will always protect sexual and reproductive health and rights. We believe that comprehensive health services, including access to reproductive care and abortion services, are vital to the empowerment of women and girls. You know, it's low-hanging fruit, but how many women and girls are in that womb? And don't tell me you're the party of social activism and social justice. This is the ultimate act of social injustice, and it is ignored. That's worse than Nazi Germany. Worse than what Pharaoh was doing to children. Worse. Right here in the U.S. Amen. It's just got to get to that point. Now, again, we're not pointing fingers and hating people, but we are looking to God's word to how we decide who we will vote for. And it's that important. That's why it's good even to go through your local, whoever's running for mayor, whoever's running for deputy mayor, whoever's running for dog catcher, find out if they what party they're in. I've had them tell me before, that's got nothing to do with my job. Well, yeah, but you might be running for mayor in a couple of years, sir, ma'am. That's why I'd like to know. No party preference. That is a bunk. Amen, right? Hallelujah. Now, Pastor George goes into a lot more detail, but for the sake of time, and again, you can look at his download. You can go on their website and actually watch. But let's look at this. Where does the Republican Party platform stand on abortion? Pages 13 and 14. The Constitution's guarantee that no one can be deprived of life, liberty, or property deliberately echoes the Declaration of Independence's proclamation that all are, somebody say all, right? Does that include an unborn American citizen? Yes. Are endued by their creator with the inalienable right to life. Accordingly, we assert the sanctity of human life and affirm that the unborn child has a fundamental right to life which cannot be infringed. We support a human life amendment to the Constitution and legislation to make it clear that the 14th Amendment's protections apply to children before birth. Somebody say, hallelujah. Glory to God. And it goes on. We oppose the use of public funds to promote, perform abortion, or to fund organizations like Planned Parenthood, so long as they provide or refer for elective abortions for cell-fetal body parts rather than provide health care. We urge all states and Congress to make it a crime to acquire, transfer, or sell fetal tissues from selective abortions for research, and we call on Congress to enact a ban on the sale of fetal body parts. Unthinkable, right? In the meantime, we call Congress to ban the practice of misleading women on so-called fetal harvesting consent forms, a fact revealed by a 2015 investigation. We will not fund health care that includes abortion coverage. Somebody say hallelujah, right? And this is the Republican Party. We support the appointment of judges who respect traditional family values and the sanctity of innocent human life. Amen. We affirm our moral obligation to assist rather than penalize women who face an unplanned pregnancy in order to encourage women who face an unplanned pregnancy to choose life. We support legislation that requires financial responsibility for the child to be equally born by both the mother and father upon conception until the child reaches adulthood. We celebrate the millions of Americans who open their hearts, homes, and churches to mothers in need and women fleeing abuse. We thank and encourage providers of counseling, medical services, and adoption assistance for empowering women experiencing, now there you go, empowering women. Well, the Democratic Party is about empowering women, not so. Misleading women, amen? Empower women experiencing an unintended pregnancy to choose life. We support funding for ultrasound and adoption assistance. We salute the many states that now protect women and girls through laws requiring informed consent. Mom and dad need to know, right? Parental consent, waiting periods, and clinical regulation. And that's a lot of what he was going into today, was regarding the state saying, we don't have to talk to the mom and dad. We're just going to teach your kids this stuff, and they don't need to tell you nothing. I mean, down to kindergarten age. Yikes, man. Wow. We applaud the U.S. House of Representatives for leading the effort to add enforcement on the Born Alive Infant Protection Act by passing the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, which imposes appropriate civil and criminal penalties on the healthcare providers who fail to provide treatment and care to an infant who survives an abortion. I mean, unthinkable. Unthinkable. And he goes into some, I mean, actually the Republican Party and some go into some details that I won't read because there are children here. Amazing. Devilish kind of things. That I mean, it's not like there's any gray areas anymore. Amen. Page 37, we support the right of parents to consent to medical treatment for their minor children and urge enactment of legislation that would require parental consent for their daughter to be transported across state lines for an abortion. We call for a permanent ban on federal funding and subsidies for abortion and healthcare plans that include abortion coverage. Somebody say amen. The parents ought to be involved in these types of things. Amen? So you've seen and heard the Republican platform and the Democratic platform on these things. Amen? Well, what does God's Word have to say? Well, I did a Google search on something like happy baby. And here we go. You ready? Here's what God's Word has to say. Deuteronomy 30:19. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Somebody say, choose life, right? That both you and your descendants may live. See, just because something is done in the dark, in the darkness of a womb, it should be the safest place for a human being to be. Doesn't mean God doesn't see it. It's done in the dark, so it doesn't matter. Matters. Amen. Proverbs 6:16 through 19. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, here it is, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises evil schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a man who stirs up dissension among brothers. Hands that shed innocent blood. God hates it. He's nowhere in that at all, right? And heaven has been filled with over 60 million. 60 million. One person asked Vice President Pence this week, well, why didn't you pick a black person for that Supreme Court justice? It came out of me, maybe they were aborted. Maybe it would have been a person. Maybe God had somebody else set aside who had the pigmentation that would please you. If it's all about pigmentation, how many millions of black children are dead because of people like you, ma'am? I mean, it is so obvious. Amen? Hands that shed innocent blood, not acceptable, right? Psalm 139, 13 through 16. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion. I remember watching the NBA Finals this past week, and one of the ball players, and you know, there is a problem with racism. We need to stop it. But there's nothing more wicked than this, killing unborn children. And one of the things that they could select a social injustice statement to put over their name, and one of the players had "say their names." Right? Just because they don't have a name yet doesn't make it okay. No. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. I just want to break right there and say something, because there might be someone listening later and you've had an abortion or more than one. There's healing for you. There's God's grace is so much greater than anything we could ever do. And you have someone in heaven who's looking forward to meeting you. And that is the glorious truth. You just roll that over onto Jesus and receive. If you've never ask God to forgive you for that, you just say, "Lord Jesus, I apologize for having an abortion or more than one or whatever, and I receive my forgiveness and my cleansing, and I will be a voice for those who have no voice, and give my little son or daughter or kids hugs for me in heaven, and let them know, Mama, Daddy, we're coming to see you soon." Just receive. Don't let the weight of that oppress you and depress you. Just receive your forgiveness of that right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isaiah 44:2 says this. This is what the Lord says. He who made you, who formed you in the womb, and who will help you. Somebody say, God formed me in the womb. In the womb. Hallelujah. Isaiah 46:3, this is the NIV 84 version. Listen to me, O house of Jacob, all you who remain of the house of Israel. And the emotion of it just keeps coming up. You who I have upheld since you were conceived. Since you were conceived. Where does life begin? At conception. Amen? And have carried since your birth. Hallelujah. Where are we at here? Jeremiah? A couple more. Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I heard one politician say it this way when he was asked by a pastor a number of years ago, where does life begin? And the politician just sort of went, that's above my pay grade. Not an acceptable answer. If we're not going to stand up for those who have no voice, who will we stand up for? As a nation. Amen? As the church. Hallelujah, right? Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Hallelujah. God's got a plan for that little one in the womb. Maybe you're listening later and you do have what we would call an unplanned pregnancy, Well, you get hold of God's word, you get in a church that loves God and loves his word, and you just come to Jesus and you begin to pray over that little one in your womb and confess the word over that little one in your womb, and Jesus will walk you through this. Do not take the world's way out, which is murder. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Psalm 22:31. They will proclaim his righteousness, declaring to a people yet unborn, he has done it. Don't you know, just because someone hasn't been born yet doesn't mean that's not a human being with rights, especially in this nation. Amen. Where are we at here? A couple more. Psalm 78, verses 5 and 6. And this is, again, the NIV 84 version. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our forefathers to teach their children so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born. And they, in turn, would tell their children. So there again, just because someone has yet to be born, that's a children in there. Amen? Amen. Even if someone would say, well, I don't want that children. Well, you choose life. Well, I don't want that children. I broke up with that guy yesterday. I don't want his child. Well, guess what? It's time for you and Jesus to have a meeting. Because that child has a plan and a purpose from God. And I would direct you, young mommy, if you're listening later, to look at how Jesus came into the world. And study about his mommy and how she dealt with maybe what would seem like an unplanned pregnancy. And her soon-to-be husband was not the baby's father, but she carried it to term. And she birthed out the Lord and Savior of this world. Hallelujah. There's a plan and a purpose for that little person inside of you. And having that abortion will not wipe away any pain from your life. It will only add to it. Somebody say, choose life. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 5 in the Amplified Classic says this, as you know not what is the way of the wind or how the spirit comes to the bones in the womb of a pregnant woman, even so you know not the work of God who does all. Somebody say, that's a human being in there. That's the breath of God has been breathed in to that child. And with today's technology especially, there is no excuse. I know exactly how many days it is till you can see that unborn baby moving around and developing limbs. And, you know, it's a human being, man. Amen. And finally with this one. Luke 1:41 in NIV, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped. What does it say? What does the Bible say? The baby, not the fetus. The baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say, it's a baby. Not a fetus. And I will speak up for the lives of the unborn, and I'll do it every time I vote. Amen. I'll stand up for children. Amen. Glory to God. How about in response to that, we all stand up right now as we're ready to close. Praise the Lord. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. So when Jesus asks us, where do you stand? Somebody say, I stand with you, Lord. I stand with you. Just lift your hands and let's pray. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you for these words. Oh God, we release your anointing to break yokes, destroy yokes, remove burdens. We thank you, Lord, for touching the heart of a nation. We thank you, Lord, for touching the heart of the church in this nation and the heart of pastors and parents who say they love God. Father, that we would rise up and do the right thing and be a voice for those who have no voice and vote according to your word, not according to personalities or agendas, but according to the word of God. Hallelujah. Just pray in the Holy Ghost. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory. Somebody say this out loud. Father God, your kingdom come, your will be done in the United States of America, on earth as it is in heaven. We call in the right leaders that you would add and subtract as you see fit from our leadership. Give us all wisdom as we vote, and we'll give you all the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's have one more big laugh at the devil. Three ha's. One, two, three. Ha, ha, ha. We win, devil. In Jesus' name. Amen. Have a blessed day, everybody.